Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Today we start a new subject. It's called The Believer's Authority. Today is part one. The Believer's Authority. Of course, we are talking about the Christian believer. And the Bible text is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever asked yourself, who am I in Christ? Many Christians, I would even say the majority, think to be a Christian is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and so far this is okay. It's good. But then they believe that Jesus should give them everything, whatever they desire. They belittle Jesus to be like Amazon, where you get everything, but through Jesus, you get it free. This comes like the give me prayer of so many people. Give me this, give me that. We need our eyes to be opened. Paul prayed that our eyes be opened and enlightened to understand the hope of your glory. Somebody said, I don't attend church, but I still believe when I pray. I wonder what they believe. Not the Bible, because the Bible says you should attend the church. And I don't know what they pray. Christianity is not just attending the church once a week. Christianity is a full-time job, 24/7. Christianity is not just to listen to nice messages which make you feel good. Christianity is going much deeper. It's also time consuming. The authority of the believer is unveiled more fully in the book of Ephesians than in any other letter written to the churches. This message today is based on Ephesians. There are spirit-anointed prayers in the end of first and third chapters. However, Paul didn't pray these prayers only for the church in Ephesus. These prayers apply to us today just as much as they do to the believers in Ephesus, because they are given by the Holy Spirit. Let's read Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What? That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Read these verses again and again and again. Read them aloud, beginning with the first chapter. Personalize these prayers by saying me, where Paul says you. For example, the reading in Ephesians 3:14 to 17, you can say, for this reason I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love. You get the idea? You can change these verses by putting your name. Spend time praying these two prayers on your knees as you minister to the Lord. Keep your Bible open before you to these prayers and pray them for yourself. As you pray, close your phone and do not be sidetracked. As you spend time for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then the spirit of revelation will begin to function. You will begin to see things in the Bible that you never saw before. It will begin to open up to you. You will advance more in spiritual growth and knowledge of the Word. That will be the greatest spiritual discoveries that you will ever make. We must have the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Christ and his word if we want to grow. It's not going to be imparted to us through intellect. The Holy Spirit must unveil it to us. People often want to know how to pray for fellow Christians. If you start praying these Ephesian prayers for them, you see results in their lives. I suggest that you pray the prayers for yourself too. But you can pray these prayers for your family members. You can pray this prayer for people who need divine healing. What you do is inserting this person's name in the prayer where it says you. When you do this, you will experience miracles. When you pray these prayers for your family, you'll be surprised how they will change. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Thank God we have authority over such evil spirits through the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to understand what Paul said here in the light of what he wrote in previous chapters. We need to realize that we have authority through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Our combat with the devil always should be with the consciousness that we have authority over him because he is a defeated foe. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus defeated him for us. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the authority of the believer is an aspect of the Christian life that few believers know much about it. Some think that authority over the devil belongs only to a few chosen people to whom God has given this special power. It doesn't. It belongs to all the children of God. We receive this authority when we are born again. As we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus, we inherit the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can use it in prayer against the enemy. But the devil doesn't want Christians to learn about the authority of the believer. He wants to continue to defeat us anytime he wants. That's why he will do everything he can to keep Christians from learning the truth about our authority. He will fight us more on this subject than anything else. He knows that when we learn the truth, his high days will be over. We will dominate him and join the authority that is rightfully ours. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 reads like this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, which is the whole church. He has blessed the whole church with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This means every blessing, spiritual blessing there is. In Christ, all spiritual blessings belong to us. Authority belongs to us whether we realize it or not. But just knowing this isn't enough. It's knowledge acted upon that brings results. It's a tragedy for Christians to go through life and never find out what belongs to them. Did he ever stop to think about it? Salvation belongs to the sinner. Jesus already has brought the salvation of the worst sinner, just as he did for us. This is the reason he told us to go and tell the good news. Go tell the sinner that they are reconciled to God. But we never really tell them. Usually they are told that God is mad at them and counting up everything they have done wrong. Yet the Bible says God is not holding anything against the sinner. He doesn't. God says he has cancelled it out. That is what's so awful. The poor sinner, not knowing this, will go to hell even though all of his debts are cancelled. 2 Corinthians 5:19. It says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It says that there is no sin problem. Jesus has settled that. There is only a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus, and that cures the problem, is what the Bible says. The sinner doesn't know what belongs to him, so it won't do him any good. In the same way, if Christians don't know the things that belong to them, they won't do them any good. They need to find out about what belongs to the Christian. That's why God put teachers in the church. That's why God gave his word to tell us what what is ours. In the natural world too, things can be ours, yet if we don't know about them, they won't do us any good. I know a man who went to the second-hand shop and looked at the books. And one book attracted him. When he opened it, he found 1,000 francs. The former owner had forgotten about that money, so it wasn't any good to him. And maybe he has died. The owner couldn't say, I didn't have it, because he had it all the time. He had put it in a safe place and forgot about it. He couldn't spend it, even though it was his. There was an old slave in America. For years, he had served his master faithfully. When his master died, he lent everything he owned to his servant. And he was living in a shabby shed and eating whatever he found. When he was told that he has a big bank account, he was happy. So every day he would go to the bank and withdraw $1 and bought the food for him and went back into his shed. He was rich. He had a house. He had a lot of money. But he didn't know the value of it. He could have lived comfortably in his house and have servants who cooked for him. He could have eaten the best food there was. But he didn't use what belonged to him because he didn't know. We need to know what belongs to us. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in Hosea, it says, my people, that is my people, not the sinners, not the world, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. You don't know what belongs to you. You have a lack of knowledge. And that is why you are destroyed. People actually perish who wouldn't have to. As a believer, know that you have that authority. You don't have authority to destroy people. But you do have authority to destroy the devil's works. That is why you are a Christian, a co-worker of Christ. You are here to indulge in your own, you're not here to indulge in your own fancy feelings, but to work for Christ. As I said before, being a Christian is a full-time job. Constantly, we have to share the good news that Christ took away all sin. Constantly, we have to deal with the devil's works and destroy it. Nobody can do that alone. We need each other to encourage and pray for each other. That cannot be done if you stay at home. It can only be done if you get up out of your house and join the church. Together, we are strong. Together, we stand together. Together, we can exercise that authority which we have received. We go into the world and we exercise that authority and reach people with the good news that they are already forgiven. We go and lead the people into the kingdom of God. That's our authority. That is our responsibility. Because every authority has also a responsibility. Yeah.
Amen.